The frost came early that year, biting through the thatched roofs of the lower village before the last harvest had even been gathered. Clara pulled her cloak tighter around her shoulders and pressed her palms against the cold stone wall of the well, waiting for her turn with the bucket. Her fingers had gone numb an hour ago. She didn't complain. Complaining did nothing but waste breath that could be used for walking faster, working harder, surviving longer. Her mother was sick again. The cough had worsened these past 3 nights, rattling through their small cottage like something alive, something feeding on what little strength the woman had left. Clara had given her the last of the dried herbs 2 days ago. There was nothing left now but broth made from bones boiled too many times, and a kind of desperate hope that refused to die, no matter how many times it was crushed. She filled her bucket and started the long walk back, boots sinking into half-frozen mud, when she heard the commotion near the castle gates. Word had spread through the village like wildfire. The Alpha King's men were turning away anyone who came begging at the gates today. The king himself in a foul temper, snapping at servants and lords alike. Clara had heard the stories. Everyone had. King Orion, ruler of the Northlands, a man carved from war and silence, who had not smiled, they said, since the day his father died in battle and left the crown, and the weight of an entire kingdom, on shoulders too young to carry it. She had never seen him. Few in the lower village had. He kept to the castle, to his war councils, to whatever grief or fury drove a man to rule with such a closed fist. But Clara did not care about kings tonight. She cared about her mother's breath rattling thin as paper, and the healer in the village who would not come without payment Clara did not have. She had heard there was a physician kept at the castle, a man skilled enough to mend bones shattered in battle. If she could just get close enough, if she could just ask, it was a foolish plan. She knew that even as her feet carried her toward the looming silhouette of the castle, its dark towers swallowed by the graying dusk, torchlight flickering gold against ancient stone. Snow had begun to fall, soft and silent, catching in her loose braid, settling on her lashes. She did not go to the main gates. She knew better than that. Knew the guards there would turn her away before she could utter a single word. Instead, she circled toward the servants' entrance at the eastern wall, where the kitchen smoke curled up into the darkening sky, and the smell of roasting meat and wood smoke drifted out into the cold. A man stood near the entrance, stacking firewood against the stone wall. He wore plain dark leather, sleeves rolled to his forearms despite the chill, his dark hair pulled back in long braids that fell past broad shoulders dusted faintly with snow. There was a fresh scar along his cheekbone, pale and thin, the kind earned in battle rather than accident. He moved like a man used to heavier burdens than firewood, economical, controlled, every motion deliberate. He did not look like a servant who belonged among other servants. But Clara was too cold, too frightened, too consumed by her mother's labored breathing to notice the strangeness of him. "Please," she said, and her voice cracked on the word, betraying just how raw she was beneath the composure she'd fought to keep. "I need to speak to the physician. My mother, she's ill, and I have nothing to pay. But I'm begging you. If you could just let me through, just for a moment." The man straightened slowly. His eyes, a pale, startling gray, like the sky just before a storm broke, moved over her face, taking in the redness of her cheeks from cold, the tremor in her hands, the threadbare cloak that had clearly been mended more times than it could bear. "The physician serves the king's household," he said. His voice was low, rough at the edges, carrying an authority that didn't match the firewood in his arms. "He doesn't tend to village folk." "I know." Clara's throat tightened. She hated how her eyes burned, hated that she might cry in front of a stranger. "I know it isn't fair to ask, but I don't know what else to do. She's all I have." Something shifted in his expression, so brief she almost missed it. A flicker, like a crack of light through a closed door. "What's wrong with her?" "A cough. It's gotten into her chest." She can barely breathe some nights. Clara's hands twisted in the fabric of her cloak. I have herbs that helped before, but they're gone, and the village healer won't come without coin. And I don't have coin. I have nothing. But I can work. I can clean. I can do anything you need if someone would just help her. Stop. The word wasn't unkind, but it was firm enough to cut through her spiraling words. He set down the firewood he'd been holding, brushing snow from his sleeves. You came here in the dark, alone, to beg a stranger for help you have no way to repay. Yes. There was no point denying it. That's either very brave or very foolish. Maybe both, Clara said. And despite everything. Despite the cold and the fear and the ache in her chest. Something like a tired smile tugged at her mouth. I didn't have time to decide which. The man studied her a moment longer, and Clara had the strange, unsettling sense that he was weighing something far heavier than her simple request. As though her answer to some unspoken question mattered more than she could possibly understand. Wait here, he said finally. You'll help me? I said wait. But there was something almost gentle beneath the gruffness, an instruction rather than a dismissal. He disappeared through the servant's door, leaving Clara alone in the falling snow, her empty bucket forgotten at her feet, her heart hammering with a fragile, dangerous hope she didn't dare fully trust. She didn't know who he was. A servant, surely, dressed too plainly to be anything else, his hands roughened by labor, no signet ring, no fine cloak-marking nobility. And yet something about the way he'd looked at her, the weight in his gaze, made her wonder if she had misjudged something important. Minutes passed. The cold deepened. Clara pressed her arms around herself, watching her breath fog in the torchlight, and wondered if she had imagined the entire exchange, if he had simply walked away and forgotten her, the way so many had before. Then the door opened again. He stepped out carrying a small woven satchel, and behind him, two more servants carried a wooden crate filled with bundled herbs, blankets, and what looked like preserved meat wrapped in cloth. What? Clara's voice failed her. The physician is occupied tonight, the man said, setting the satchel into her stunned arms. But these will ease her breathing until tomorrow. I'll see that someone is sent to your village at first light. I don't understand. I have nothing to give you in return. I didn't ask for anything. His gray eyes held hers, steady and unreadable. Go home. Keep her warm. Boil the herbs in water, not broth. It works faster that way. Clara's eyes filled despite her best efforts to stop them. Thank you. I don't even know your name. A pause. Something flickered behind his eyes again, quick and complicated. Servants don't need names, he said simply. Go, before the cold gets worse. She wanted to argue, wanted to press for more, but exhaustion and gratitude and the bitter wind all conspired against her. She clutched the satchel to her chest like something precious and turned to go, casting one last glance over her shoulder. He was still watching her. Not with the dismissive disinterest of a man eager to return to his duties, but with something far more searching, as if he were trying to solve a puzzle he hadn't expected to find standing at the servant's gate in the snow. What Clara didn't know, what she could not possibly have known, was that the man who had just emptied half the castle's medicinal stores into her arms was no servant at all. He was Orion, Alpha King of the Northlands, and he had spent the better part of an hour testing every beggar and stranger who approached that gate tonight, watching how they reacted when told no, watching whether kindness given without expectation of reward still existed in a world that had taught him, again and again, that it did not. She was the first person all night who hadn't asked his name out of curiosity about his standing. She had asked because she wanted to thank him. It was such a small thing. And yet, as he watched her disappear into the snow-laced dark, satchel clutched tight against her chest, something cold and closed within his chest, something that had not stirred in years, shifted, just slightly, toward the light. Clara's mother was asleep by the time the herbs finished steeping, her breathing easier than it had been in days. The rattling cough softened into something almost peaceful. Clara sat beside the narrow bed long after the fire had burned low, watching the rise and fall of her mother's chest as though sheer attention could keep death at bay. She thought of the servant at the gate, the way his gray eyes had studied her, careful and searching, as if her answers carried some weight she couldn't see. She thought of his voice, low, rough, strangely commanding for a man who carried firewood. She told herself it didn't matter who he was. He had helped her. That was enough. But true to his word, a healer arrived at first light, knocking gently on the cottage door before the sun had fully cleared the frost-covered hills. He was an older man, gentle-handed, carrying a proper case of remedies, and he examined Clara's mother with a thoroughness no village healer would have spared for someone who couldn't pay. "Who sent you?" Clara asked, stunned. "A household order," the healer said simply, packing away his instruments. "I don't ask questions about who issues them. I simply go where I'm told." It wasn't an answer, but it was enough to make Clara's chest tighten with something unfamiliar, gratitude tangled with confusion, and beneath both, a small, persistent curiosity she didn't know what to do with. 3 days later, summoned by a runner she didn't recognize, Clara found herself standing once more before the castle gates, this time invited, this time expected. The note had been brief. "The king requires household help. Report to the eastern kitchens." No explanation. No mention of the man who had given her medicine in the snow. She told herself it was simply fortune. Work meant coin, and coin meant her mother could eat properly, could have warmth through the rest of winter. She did not let herself hope for anything more complicated than that. The kitchens were vast, louder and busier than anything Clara had ever known. Pots clattering, fires roaring, servants moving in practiced chaos around a head cook who barked orders like a general commanding troops. Clara was put to work almost immediately, scrubbing, hauling, chopping, her hands raw within the hour. It was hard work, but it was honest work. And for the first time in months, she did not go to bed each night, calculating exactly how many days remained before there was nothing left to eat. It was on her fourth day that she saw him again. He moved through the castle halls differently than she remembered, not hauling firewood now, but walking with purpose, trailed by men in armor who deferred to him with quick, respectful nods. Clara nearly dropped the basin of water she was carrying. He looked different in better light. Taller somehow, though she knew that couldn't be true. His braided hair was pulled back neatly, his leather armor finer than what he'd worn that night, lined with dark fur at the collar. But it was unmistakably him. The scar along his cheekbone, the storm gray eyes that found hers across the crowded hall and held. For a moment, neither of them moved. Then one of the guards beside him bowed his head slightly and murmured something that made Clara's blood run cold. "Your Majesty." The basin slipped from her numb fingers, water splashing across the stone floor. Several servants gasped. Clara dropped into a hurried, clumsy curtsy, heat rushing to her face. "Forgive me. I didn't know. Your Majesty, I'm so sorry." "Get up," Orion said. Not unkindly, but the command in his voice was unmistakable now, stripped of whatever gentleness he'd shown her in the snow. This was not the servant who had carried firewood. This was the Alpha King of the Northlands, and the weight of that truth crashed over Clara like icy water. She rose slowly, unable to meet his eyes, her mind spinning backward through every word she'd said to him that night, every desperate, unguarded plea, every moment of vulnerability she'd shown a man she'd believed beneath her notice, when in truth, he commanded the very kingdom she lived in. "You lied to me," she whispered, before she could stop herself. A murmur rippled through the watching servants. One did not accuse a king of lying, not allowed, not ever. Orion's expression didn't change, but something flickered behind his eyes, quick and sharp. "I never lied," he said evenly. "You assumed. I simply didn't correct you. That's the same thing." "It isn't." His voice dropped lower, meant only for her now, though the hall had gone unnervingly quiet around them. "If I had told you who I was, would you have asked for help the way you did? Or would you have performed gratitude instead of feeling it?" Clara's mouth opened, then closed. She didn't have an answer, not one she was willing to admit aloud, not in front of an audience of servants and guards all straining to overhear. "I needed to know," Orion continued, quieter still, "whether kindness still existed without an audience. Whether someone would beg for help from a man with nothing to offer in return simply because they believed he might still say yes. And did I pass your test?" Clara's voice trembled, equal parts hurt and fury. "Was that all it was to you? A test?" Something in his jaw tightened. For the briefest moment, the iron control in his expression cracked, revealing something rawer beneath. Exhaustion, maybe, or old grief that had calcified into distance. "You were the only one who didn't ask my name out of greed," he said. "Out of every beggar, every desperate soul who came to that gate that night, you were the only one who asked because you wanted to thank a stranger." "That isn't a test. You failed, Clara." She startled at the sound of her own name in his mouth. She hadn't given it to him that night. He must have asked, or already known, somehow, before she'd ever set foot in his castle. "I don't understand any of this," she admitted, the fight draining out of her, replaced by something closer to exhaustion. "Why does it matter to you? Why does it matter what one village girl thinks of strangers?" Orion was quiet for a long moment, his gray eyes unreadable, the watching hall forgotten between them. "Because I am surrounded by people who want something from me," he said finally. "Lords who want favor, nobles who want alliance through marriage. Even my own council, half of them, want a king who will wage the wars that fill their coffers. I have not met an honest soul inside these walls in longer than I can remember." His gaze didn't waver from hers. "You walked through snow to beg a stranger for medicine you could never repay. That is the first honest thing I've witnessed in this castle in years." Clara didn't know what to say to that. The hall around them had gone utterly silent, servants and guards alike pretending not to listen, while clearly listening to every word. "Your Majesty," came a voice, sharp and cutting through the moment. A tall, severe-looking woman in fine robes, stepping forward with the unmistakable bearing of someone accustomed to being obeyed. Her eyes flicked over Clara with open disdain. "Forgive the interruption, but the council awaits your presence. We've matters of the southern border to discuss." "I'm aware, Margaret." Something tightened in Orion's voice. Not quite annoyance, but close to it. The woman's gaze lingered on Clara a moment longer, cool and assessing, before she turned and swept back down the corridor, clearly expecting Orion to follow. He didn't move immediately. Instead, he looked back at Clara, and for just a moment, the king's mask slipped again, replaced by something gentler, almost uncertain. "Your mother," he said. "Is she well?" The question, so quiet and genuine, undid something in Clara's chest. "Better, because of you." "Good." A pause. "You'll continue working in the kitchens. No one will trouble you about tonight." His eyes held hers a beat longer than necessary. "And Clara, what I said in the snow still stands. I asked nothing of you then. I ask nothing of you now." He turned and strode after his council, leaving Clara standing in the wreckage of her own composure, the spilled water forgotten at her feet, servants whispering behind raised hands all around her. She did not know what frightened her more, that the Alpha King of the Northlands had tested her honesty in the dead of night, or that some small, foolish part of her chest had warmed at the way he'd asked after her mother, as though her answer genuinely mattered to him. That night, lying awake in the servants' quarters, Clara stared at the ceiling and tried to convince herself that nothing had changed. He was a king. She was a kitchen girl. Whatever strange honesty had passed between them in the snow meant nothing beyond what it was. A single act of kindness from a lonely man testing the limits of trust. She almost believed it. But she kept hearing his voice, low and certain. "You were the only one who didn't ask my name out of greed." And somewhere deep in the quiet of the castle, in a chamber far grander than any servant's quarters, Orion sat awake as well, staring into a dying fire, turning over the same unsettling truth. That for the first time since his father's death, something other than duty had captured his attention. Something he could not yet name. Something dangerously close to hope. Margaret found her 3 days later, cornering Clara in the narrow stone passage between the kitchens and the laundry, where the air smelled of lye soap and damp wool. "I know what you're doing," Margaret said without preamble, her fine robes rustling as she stepped closer, her voice pitched low enough that no passing servant would overhear. "I've seen girls like you before. Pretty enough, desperate enough, willing to play the wounded dove if it earns a king's pity." Clara's hands tightened around the basket of linens she carried. "I'm not playing anything. I was helping my mother." "Were you?" Margaret's smile was thin, cold, the kind that never reached her eyes. "And it had nothing to do with knowing exactly who would be standing at that gate that night. I didn't know who he was. I still don't understand any of this." Clara's voice wavered, frustration and confusion tangling together. "I never asked for his attention." "No, but you have it." Margaret's gaze swept over her with open contempt. "Let me explain something to you, kitchen girl, since no one else will bother. Orion is the Alpha King. His mate, when he chooses one, will be Queen of the Northlands, will carry the weight of alliances, of bloodlines, of a kingdom built on centuries of careful breeding and political marriage. It will not be a serving girl who scrubs his floors and weeps prettily at his gate." "I never asked to be his mate," Clara said, heat rising in her face. "I asked for medicine, and got considerably more than that, it seems." Margaret's eyes narrowed. "I don't know what game you're playing, or whether you're clever enough to be playing one at all. But I will be watching you. The king has responsibilities you cannot begin to understand. Alliances with the Western Pacts that depend on a marriage he has delayed for years. Whatever fleeting interest he's shown you will pass. They always do." "Don't make a fool of yourself believing otherwise." She swept away before Clara could respond, leaving her standing alone in the cold passage, linens forgotten in her trembling arms. Clara avoided the upper halls after that, burying herself in kitchen work, scrubbing pots until her hands cracked and bled in the cold water, anything to keep her mind from circling back to gray eyes and quiet questions about her mother's health. She told herself Margaret was right. She told herself the king's curiosity had been a passing thing, born of loneliness and the strangeness of an honest stranger. Nothing more. She nearly believed it. Until the evening she found Orion waiting in the kitchen garden, where she'd gone to gather the last of the hardy winter herbs before the frost claimed them entirely. He stood near the stone wall, no guards trailing him this time, dressed simply again. Not quite the servant's leather from that first night, but plainer than the fur-lined armor she'd seen him wear before the council. As though he were caught somewhere between the two men he could be. "You've been avoiding the upper halls," he said, without turning to face her at first. Clara nearly dropped her basket for the second time in a fortnight. "I've had kitchen duties, Your Majesty." "Orion." He turned then, his expression unreadable in the fading light. "When it's just us, I'd like that, if you're willing." "I don't think that's appropriate," Clara said carefully, Margaret's warning still ringing sharp in her ears. "You're the king. I'm a servant who scrubs your floors. You're the only person in this castle who speaks to me without calculating what it might earn her." Something tightened around his words, an old weariness surfacing. Do you know how rare that is? How exhausting it is to never know if a kind word is genuine or merely strategic? I'm sure Lady Margaret would say I'm the one being strategic. Orion's jaw tensed. Margaret has opinions about a great many things that aren't her concern. She said you're meant to marry for alliance, that the Western packs are waiting on it. Clara hadn't meant to say it so plainly, but the words spilled out before she could stop them, raw with a hurt she hadn't fully acknowledged until that moment. She's not wrong, is she? Orion was quiet for a long moment, his gray eyes fixed on some point past her shoulder, somewhere in the gathering dusk. My father died believing peace could only be bought through bloodlines and careful marriages, he said finally. He spent the last years of his life arranging an alliance with the Western Pax, sealed by a marriage he never lived to see completed. The expectation has followed me since I took the crown. Marry Lady Seraphine of the Western Pack, secure the peace, honor my father's final wish. Then you should. Clara hated how the words tasted, bitter and final. I shouldn't be standing here at all. Perhaps not. His gaze finally returned to her, steady and searching. And yet, here you are. Here I am. Some nights I think duty is the only thing that has ever truly belonged to me, the only certainty in a life built on other people's expectations. And then, I met a girl willing to beg a stranger for medicine in the snow, asking for nothing but a moment's kindness. And I find myself questioning whether duty was ever meant to cost a man everything.
I can't be the reason you question your duty. Clara's voice trembled, equal parts fear and something far more dangerous stirring beneath it. I have nothing to offer a kingdom, no alliance, no bloodline worth protecting. Margaret made that very clear. I didn't ask what you could offer a kingdom.
Orion stepped closer, close enough that Clara could see the faint silver scar catching the last light, close enough to feel the warmth radiating from him despite the gathering cold. I asked what you could offer me. The air between them grew taut, charged with something neither of them dared name aloud. Clara's heart hammered against her ribs, equal parts terror and a longing she didn't fully understand. Orion. His name felt strange and intimate in her mouth, the first time she dared use it. If anyone saw us, if Margaret found us here, let them see. Something fierce flickered behind his gray eyes, the same intensity she'd glimpsed that night at the gate, when he'd watched her disappear into the snow as though solving some impossible puzzle. I have spent 3 years making decisions for everyone but myself. I would like, just once, to choose something simply because it is true. He reached out, hesitant despite the certainty in his voice, and brushed a strand of loose hair from her cheek, his fingers calloused and warm against the cold evening air. Clara's breath caught. This is foolish, she whispered, though she did not step away. Yes, Orion agreed, his voice rough. Entirely foolish. Neither of them moved apart. The garden around them had gone utterly silent. The last birdsong faded into the coming dark, snow beginning to drift again from a sky heavy with clouds. For one suspended moment, the weight of crowns and alliances and Margaret's cold warning seemed to dissolve entirely, leaving only the quiet space between a king and a kitchen girl who had somehow, impossibly, found something true in each other. Then a voice cut sharply through the stillness. Your Majesty. A guard's voice, urgent and breathless, approaching from the castle entrance.
Forgive the intrusion. Lady Seraphine's envoy has arrived early. They request an audience tonight.
Orion's hand fell away from Clara's cheek, the king's composure sliding back into place like armor. But his eyes lingered on her a moment longer, full of something unresolved and aching. I have to go, he said quietly. I know. Clara stepped back, putting distance between them, suddenly aware of how dangerously close she had come to forgetting every warning Margaret had given her. You should. He hesitated at the garden gate,
looking back at her once more.
Clara.
Go, Orion. Your alliance is waiting. The words came out sharper than she intended, but she did not take them back. He held her gaze a moment longer, something unspoken passing between them, before turning and disappearing into the torch-lit corridor, leaving Clara alone in the falling snow once more. Exactly as she had been the night they'd met. Except now everything had changed, and she had no idea how to undo it, even if she wanted to. Lady Seraphine arrived the following morning, and the castle transformed around her presence like a held breath. Banners were raised along the western towers. The kitchens doubled their preparations for a feast meant to honor the Western Pax envoy. Clara watched it all unfold from the edges, scrubbing pots while servants whispered excitedly about the beautiful lady who would soon be their queen. Seraphine was, by every account, exactly what a queen should be. Tall, composed, dressed in furs so fine they seemed to ripple like water, her dark hair crowned with silver combs that caught the torchlight. She moved through the castle halls with practiced grace, every gesture measured, every smile calculated to charm exactly the right amount. Clara told herself it didn't matter. She had no claim on Orion, no right to feel the hollow ache that settled in her chest each time she glimpsed Seraphine on his arm, gliding through corridors Clara was only permitted to clean. She nearly succeeded in believing it, until the night of the feast, when she was assigned to carry trays into the great hall and found herself standing at the edges of a celebration that felt, to her, like watching her own quiet hope being buried alive. Orion sat at the head table, the crown heavy and gleaming atop his dark hair, Seraphine seated beside him in a place of honor. He looked every inch the Alpha King the realm expected, composed, commanding, utterly unreachable. Only Clara, watching from the shadows near the kitchen entrance, noticed the tightness around his eyes, the careful distance he kept even as Seraphine leaned close to murmur something against his ear. His gaze found Clara across the crowded hall, just once, brief and aching, before duty pulled his attention away again. She fled the hall before the feast had ended, unable to bear another moment of watching a future being arranged in front of her that had never once included her. It was Margaret who found her again that night, in the quiet of the empty kitchen garden, snow falling soft and silent around them both. "You should leave," Margaret said, without the usual cruelty in her voice, something almost gentle beneath the words, which unsettled Clara more than any insult could have. "Not banished, just gone. Find work in another village, somewhere far from here, before this becomes something neither of you can undo." "I never wanted any of this," Clara said quietly. "I never asked him to look at me the way he does." "I know." Margaret's expression softened, just slightly, the cold composure cracking to reveal something almost sympathetic. "That's precisely why I'm warning you. If you wanted his crown, I could fight you."
"I know how to fight ambition. But you don't want his crown. You want him, and that is so much harder to protect him from."
"Protect him from me?" Clara's voice cracked. "I would never hurt him. Not intentionally." Margaret's gaze grew distant, weighted with old grief Clara didn't understand. "I served his mother, you know, before she died giving birth to him. I watched his father rule alone for years afterward, hollowed out by a love he lost too soon. A kingdom he sacrificed everything to protect, because he had nothing left to protect for himself. I will not watch that same fate claim the son."
"So you'd rather he marry someone he doesn't love, simply because it's safer?"
"I'd rather he survive what loving someone costs a king." Margaret's voice hardened again, the warmth retreating. "Seraphine understands the rules of this world. She will give him an alliance, an heir. A kingdom secured against war. She will not ask him to choose between duty and his own heart, because she does not require his heart at all. That is its own kind of mercy, Clara, whether you understand it or not." She left Clara alone in the snow once more, the words settling like stones in her chest. Clara did not see Orion again for nearly a week. She told herself it was for the best, that Margaret's warning had been a kindness disguised as cruelty, that the safest thing she could do, for both of them, was disappear quietly back into the obscurity she'd come from. She was packing the few belongings she owned, preparing to request leave from her kitchen duties, when a sharp knock sounded at her small chamber door. Orion stood in the corridor, alone, no guards, no crown, dressed plainly, the way he'd been the very first night they'd met. His gray eyes found the half-packed bag on her narrow bed, and something fierce and wounded flickered across his face. "You're leaving." "I think it's best." Clara's voice trembled despite her best efforts to keep it steady. "For both of us." "Did Margaret tell you that?" "She didn't have to. I already knew." Clara forced herself to meet his eyes, though it cost her everything to do it. "You have a kingdom waiting on an alliance, Orion. A father's dying wish. A people who need peace more than they need a king's happiness. I can't be the reason you fail them." "You think I haven't considered every one of those things every single night since I met you?" His voice was low, rough with something raw and unguarded. "I have spent 3 years burying every want I've ever had beneath duty. I told myself it was enough, that ruling well was its own reward, that love was a luxury kings couldn't afford. And then you walked through the snow and begged a stranger for help. And for the first time since my father died, I wanted something simply because it was mine to want." "Wanting isn't the same as choosing." Clara's voice broke. "You have a responsibility to your people." "I have a responsibility to be honest." Orion stepped closer, closing the small distance of the chamber between them. "I sat across from Seraphine at that feast and felt nothing but the absence of you. That isn't fair to her, and it certainly isn't fair to a kingdom expecting me to build peace on a foundation of pretense." "So what are you saying?" "I'm saying I won't marry a woman I don't love simply because it's expected of me." His gray eyes held hers, fierce and certain, despite the danger in his words. "Not because I'm choosing you over my duty, Clara, but because choosing honesty is my duty. My father built an empire on careful alliances and lost himself entirely in the process. I won't make that same mistake. Your council will never accept this. Margaret will never accept this." "Then I will face that battle when it comes." Orion reached for her hand, his calloused fingers wrapping gently around hers, warm despite the cold seeping through the chamber's stone walls. "But I will not lose the one honest thing in my life because I was too afraid to fight for it." Clara's resolve, carefully constructed over a week of silent grief, crumbled entirely beneath the weight of his words. "Orion, if this goes wrong..." "Then it goes wrong with both of us standing together, not with you disappearing into the snow alone." His thumb brushed gently across her knuckles. "Stay, please." Outside the small chamber window, snow continued falling, soft and relentless, blanketing the castle grounds in pale silence. Somewhere in the great hall below, Seraphine waited with the expectations of an entire kingdom resting on her shoulders. Somewhere in the castle's shadowed corridors, Margaret watched and worried and grieved a future she could already see unraveling. But in the small, quiet chamber, Clara made her choice. Not the safe one, not the expected one, but the true one. She did not pull her hand away. The council chamber had never felt so cold. Orion stood at its center the following morning, Clara beside him despite every protest Margaret had whispered in the hours before dawn. Despite the disbelieving silence that fell over the gathered lords the moment they understood why she had been summoned. "This is madness," one lord said, rising sharply from his seat. "You would abandon an alliance 3 years in the making for a kitchen girl?" "I would abandon a marriage built on nothing but obligation," Orion said, his voice carrying the same quiet authority Clara remembered from the night they'd met, when he'd worn a servant's leather and carried firewood instead of a crown. "I owe my father honor. I do not owe him my entire life in exchange for his peace of mind." "The Western Pack will see this as insult," another voice warned,
they will withdraw their support. There could be war.
Then I will negotiate a different peace.
Orion's jaw was set, unmovable.
One built on mutual respect rather than forced marriage. I am Alpha King. I will not rule a kingdom built on the same hollow foundation that consumed my father.
Margaret stood near the chamber's edge, her face unreadable, watching the council erupt into furious debate around her.
Clara caught her eye once, briefly, and saw something there she hadn't expected. Not triumph, not vindication, but a kind of weary, reluctant respect.
It was Seraphine, surprisingly, who ended the argument. She had been summoned to the chamber as well, standing with the same composed grace she'd carried through the entire feast, though something in her expression had softened considerably overnight.
"He's right," she said simply, silencing the room.
Every eye turned toward her in disbelief. "I came here prepared to marry a man who would never love me, because it was expected, because peace required it. But I watched him at that feast last night, and I have never seen a man look so thoroughly absent from his own celebration."
Her gaze flickered briefly to Clara, not unkind, simply honest.
"I will not build my life on a foundation that hollow. Find another path to peace, Your Majesty. One that doesn't require either of us to disappear into a marriage neither of us wants."
The chamber fell into stunned silence.
"The Western Pact came seeking security," Orion said carefully, "not cruelty toward their daughter. I will not let this unravel into war over my own heart's failures, Seraphine. We will find another alliance. Trade agreements, shared borders, whatever framework serves both our peoples without costing either of us our future."
Seraphine inclined her head, something like relief passing across her composed features.
"Then we have an understanding, Your Majesty." The council did not erupt into easy agreement. Old lords muttered, old alliances strained, and Clara understood, watching it all unfold, that this single morning would not undo years of expectation overnight. But the war that had been threatened did not come. Slowly, carefully, the chamber settled into uneasy acceptance, the way ice cracks before finally giving way to spring. Months passed before the kingdom fully settled into its new shape. Orion worked tirelessly to forge new agreements with the Western Pact, not through marriage, but through careful diplomacy that Seraphine herself helped negotiate, having found in the process an unexpected respect for the young king who'd refused to sacrifice his heart for politics. Margaret remained at Clara's side through it all, gruff and exacting as ever, though something had shifted permanently in how she looked at her. She never apologized outright. Clara suspected she never would. But she began teaching Clara the customs of court, the careful diplomacy required of a future queen, the weight of responsibilities Clara had never imagined she'd one day carry.
"I still think you're a fool," Margaret told her one evening, watching Clara practice the formal bow expected at court.
"But you're his fool. And I have buried too many people I love to watch him bury his own heart, simply because duty demanded it." It was as close to blessing as Margaret would ever offer, and Clara held on to it like the precious thing it was. Clara's mother recovered fully by spring, her cough nothing but a faded memory, her cottage replaced by a modest house within the castle grounds, where she could be close to her daughter without the burden of poverty pressing down on either of them. She wept the first time she saw Clara in the pale blue gown befitting her new station, gripping her daughter's hands as though she still couldn't quite believe the impossible turn their lives had taken.
"You always had the kindest heart in the village," her mother said,
brushing tears from weathered cheeks. "I just never imagined a king would be the one to finally see it."
"He didn't make me kind," Clara said softly.
"He just happened to be standing at the gate the night it mattered most. The wedding, when it finally came, was nothing like the grand political alliance the castle had once prepared for Seraphine. It was smaller, warmer, attended by villagers as much as nobles.
The great hall filled with laughter rather than careful diplomatic posturing."
Orion stood at the altar in the same dark leather he'd worn that first snowy night, a quiet nod to where it had all begun. And when Clara walked toward him, dressed simply despite the finery offered to her, he looked at her the way he had in the garden months before, as though she were the only true thing in a world built on careful performance.
"I once told you I asked nothing of you," he murmured, when the formal vows had ended and the hall had erupted into celebration around them.
"I find I was wrong."
"What do you ask of me now?"
Clara asked, smiling despite the tears gathering in her eyes.
"Everything," Orion said simply, his voice rough with an emotion he no longer bothered hiding. "All of it. The honesty, the kindness, the girl who begged a stranger for help in the snow, never knowing she would change the entire course of a kingdom."
"I didn't change a kingdom," Clara whispered. "I just asked a servant for help."
"You asked an honest question of an honest stranger," Orion said, drawing her close. Snow beginning to fall once more outside the great hall's tall windows, soft and silent, exactly as it had the night they'd met. And in answering it,
I finally remembered who I wanted to be. Not just a king bound by duty, but a man capable of choosing love without losing himself in the process. Outside, the first snow of the season drifted down over a kingdom that had, against every expectation, found its way toward a peace built not on forced alliance, but on honesty freely given and freely returned. Margaret watched from the hall's edge, arms crossed, expression unreadable, though those who knew her best would have called the faint softness around her eyes something dangerously close to contentment. And Clara, standing beside the king who had once tested her heart in the falling snow without ever revealing his crown, finally understood that some of the truest things in life began not with grand declarations, but with a simple, desperate plea for help, and the quiet courage of a stranger willing to answer it.